Our Hubcast guest today grew up in the hotel industry, with her dad running the businesses and her mum being the interior designer. After a career herself as an art director in advertising, she then moved into property investing before becoming an interior designer. She's now pivoting her design business into creating luxury, adult, intimate spaces. So let's hear all about her interesting career journey to date. Welcome to the Hubcast, brought to you by the Interior Designers Hub, where we help and support interior designers to get trained, get into the industry, and to grow wildly successful businesses. If you want to work in the field you love, create the lifestyle you desire, and make the money you truly deserve, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Kate Hatherall. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Hubcast. And today I am super excited to be talking with Philippa Sale of Flipper Interiors. Hi, Philippa. Welcome to the Hubcast.
Hello, Kate. Lovely to see you again.
Great to have you here. So obviously we're going to be talking all things interior business today. You have your business Flipper Interiors. So tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're based, what type of design do you do?
Well, we're an interior design company based in South Oxfordshire, a little town called Wallingford, just outside of Henley. And there's three of us in the company, and we do commercial and residential. So we do a mix of both. But our commercial side is a more a resi-mercial rather than just a typical commercial. And we have a few specialities, which are schools and as this resi-mercial thing, which is sort of a combined residential commercial. And then we also do residential as well.
So when you say resi-mercial, does that mean things like boarding schools? So they're kind of residential, but it's actually a commercial property. Is that right?
Yes, there is that. And also we try, when we do office spaces, we try to make them feel a little bit more comfortable. So we do common room spaces in offices and also in boarding houses and public schools and things like that.
Amazing. Very exciting work. And how long have you been in the interior design industry?
12 years now.
12 years, amazing. And so you have had a life before interior design. Was there something else that you used to do before you became an interior designer?
Yes, well, I've always felt that I'm a problem solver with design. And so I grew up in the hotel industry. My parents owned and sold hotels, golf courses, restaurants, and my mother was the interior designer for my dad's businesses.
Oh, wow.
So I was very much grew up in the industry. But I decided to go into advertising, and I was an art director. So I did an art course, graphic design and advertising course, and I worked in advertising for many years, making TV commercials, press adverts, and then I would go and I also did graphic design. And then when I left London, I set up my own graphic design business. And then 12 years ago, felt it wasn't satisfying anymore. And I bought some properties. And rather than just going out and buying properties to rent out, I actually had a property guru that I hired to train me in how to become a property investor. And I said, oh, I'm going to take my hotel industry knowledge and do these rentals in a way that will be really practical, because they were houses of multiple occupancy for young professionals, and see if I can get a bit more rent than the average person was. And so I did my five houses, and my mentor went, oh my goodness, you're getting much higher rents than everybody else.
Oh wow,
they look so much better. They're much more practical. You haven't put in IKEA, and you're not having to buy every year a new furniture. Could you do my other clients' houses? And I went, yeah, of course. 3 years later, I'd done 52 houses of multiple occupancy.
Wow.
Yes.
Amazing.
So I became an interior designer very quickly. Learning by mistakes.
So there wasn't a period where you thought, right, okay, I'm going to finish with my kind of advertising career, and now I'm going to study interior design and set up a business. It just kind of happened far more organically than that.
Exactly. Incredibly organic and incredibly fast.
Amazing.
So I learned on the go.
And I can imagine as well that background that you had growing up in that environment with mum as an interior designer, that must have absorbed that knowledge somewhere along the way.
Yes. Well, I used to sit on my dad's lap and he'd have plans out and he'd be like, this is how we're going to break up a room. This is where we're going to put the ensuite and this. And he'd bought some beautiful Georgian house that he converted into a hotel. So they'd always taken me along to building sites. They'd always bought lots of houses. I mean, I'm now living in the 15th house that I've lived in. And so I was always around all of that. And I've always solved problems through design. So I didn't see it as being a difficult transition. But I did learn by my mistakes.
Sometimes that's the best way to learn. And so it sounds as though you not fell into it. That's not quite the right expression, but it just kind of the path sort of organically opened in front of you.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. Do you think that, like, do you ever look back and wish that you'd started it earlier, more intentionally, or do you just feel that it was kind of the right time, the right place, and all of the stars aligned for you?
No, I wish I'd started earlier. I do wish you? I had. Yes. My godmother was an interior designer and she always said, oh, come and join me and come and I was like, oh, you're a bit far away and I've got my job up in London and oh, I haven't done the course and I'm not trained. And I felt that I was a bit of a, you know, it felt like it was going to be too hard to do and to go back to college and everything like that. And then when I just fell on my lap, I was like, okay.
I'm doing this anyway.
Yeah. And it was so much more enjoyable than anything I've ever done.
Amazing. And that journey into becoming an interior designer, were there kind of, I mean, obviously you said that you made some mistakes and things, but were there any blockers to you? Like, did you have any mindset worries or fears, or were the blockers more kind of practical?
Yes. There was that classic one of, I'm not good enough and I'm not. What's your saying on your course? You've got a lovely name for her.
That we have the imposter Imogen.
Imposter Imogen. Yeah. So I very much thought I was imposter Imogen, mm-hmm. and telling people how to do these houses. And I was literally getting a house that was like a 3 or 4 bedroom house, and saying to my clients, "We can turn this into a 6 bedroom HMO. I can work with a builder, just hand me your money and I will go in and do every single thing and I will make the beds, I'll put the pizza slices in the drawers, I will hang the pictures and I'll get the builder to do everything and the extension and it will be fabulous and you'll get loads of money in rent." And it worked.
And the whole time that you were saying that, were you kind of thinking, I don't really know how to do this, but I'm going to kind of find out and I'll make it happen?
Yes, but I knew it would happen. I knew it because I did my own, so I knew I could do it. And every time I did a new one, I thought, I've got to be more creative with the next one. And then I got to be more, because I'm now putting myself, my clients, in competition with each other. So I made sure that every single one of their houses looked completely different in style. And so that when they were advertising their HMO rooms, that they didn't compete with each other in the same style. So I had to make them stand out in the marketplace. And so it made me learn so much about colours and spatial awareness. And I got really good at space planning. I mean, I could fit an ensuite in anywhere.
I love that. What great experience. Mm. And then once some kind of, you obviously, you know, got underway with the HMOs and you became very experienced at that. Mm. How did you then broaden your design service out into other types of property?
Well, I decided that it wasn't making me a lot of profit because all my clients were on quite a strict budget. So we got involved with House. They actually contacted me and said, would you like to come for a day training locally? And we'll give you lunch and wine and dine you, basically. And I was completely hooked and I signed up for their professional house pro. And they started feeding me work. And then also I was on Bark as well. And then we started advertising on Google and work just started coming. And quite organically, but it did start coming. Then, of course, lockdown happened.
Yes.
And I was like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? So I looked into doing 3D visualization. And I found out about a company called Home by Me, and I learned how to do their software. And I thought, oh, I can now do visuals online with my clients and walk them through a place really easily and quickly without having to come to their house. They can just send me their plans and I can create it in 3D. So that really then elevated me to the next level, to be able to, the clients, I could then create much better space planning spaces, and I could still do it online and still keep on working all through lockdown.
Amazing. So that got you through that difficult period, which lots of interior designers struggled with, not being able to go out and see clients. So that then expanded into doing kind of the school work?
Yes, it just, I just got a call one day, and they'd seen me on Google and were like, oh, I think you can do, because you've done hotels, because I was still involved in my family hotel at the time that we had. And and then that sort of took off, that area, and got quite a lot of work from that. And then office people then would see them and go, oh, can we have offices like this? And so, yeah, it's naturally rolled.
What I'm hearing from you as well is that you don't shy away from new opportunities that come up. So you might not have done a school common room before, but when you're approached to do it, you think, yeah, okay, I can do this. I can give it a go.
Just as design, it's just literally, I'm just designing a different space, and I've just got to get into the mindset of the people that go into the room and why they use it. So especially with the common room, we had lots of different teachers, but they were boarding school teachers. So they were living on site, and this was going to be like their sitting room. But also you had the teachers that were coming who were, they were the sports teachers, and they were bringing other sports teachers who had been playing a match that day, and they wanted to, them to come and have a drink in there. So they had a bar, but then there were teachers that wanted to come there and have a meeting. And then there were teachers that wanted to just read the newspaper. And then there were teachers that wanted to just sit and have a chat with each other. So it had to do lots of different ideas. So we had to zone it. And so it was just, for me, working out the psychology of what the room needed to do and the jobs that needed to be done and how we worked on it. And then the rest just flows, because I'm all about practicality and space flow and usefulness of a space.
Amazing. And that's the same, you know, no matter what setting you're in, if you're designing a residential space, a commercial space, it's about what the user wants, yes, and about the how the space functions, how it feels and how it operates, mm-hmm, for the people that are in it.
Yeah, completely. Amazing.
Now, I know, Philippa, that you are now taking your business in a slightly new direction, and I have been asked by several people to make sure that I ask you about this. So talk to us about the new direction that you are taking your business in.
Yes. Well, this year has been a little bit quieter, as I'm sure a lot of people are struggling at the moment, and it's not an easy time. So I was trying to think, what would Kate do? Kate would niche. And so I was thinking, what can I do? What can I do that's niche? And then a friend of mine said to me, have you watched this interior design program on Netflix? And I went, no, that sounds very interesting. And I watched it and I binge watched it. I mean, like in a couple of days, I was like, this is just absolutely brilliant. And I thought, I can do this. I can do this. I can copy this whole concept, but I can do it high end and I can do it beautifully. And the program, if you haven't watched it, is called How to Build a Sex Room. Wow. And so I have now set up Intimate Spaces Limited, and we design beautifully high-end luxury adult playrooms.
Amazing.
And we launched last month.
And I mean, what a departure from doing school common rooms into doing sensual, sexy spaces. But I suspect that you would say that it's the same stuff about what the user groups want, about how the space functions. Yeah.
Well, we're still running the other business at the moment as well, and because it's going to take a while for the other one to get going and momentum and everything. But yes. And what I want to do with this particular business this time is I'm going to bring in a leading sex coach, and we're going to sit with the client and actually really work out what their preferences are and what their needs are, what their no's are, and help them align, especially if they're a couple, to make sure that both of them are happy in the space and that we can elevate them to the next level.
Amazing. And is this a business for residential? So are you going into people's homes and creating these spaces?
Firstly, I think yes. But if hotels want us or clubs, we're there as well to help.
Amazing. And I guess you've had to kind of do lots of research into this about suppliers, because you're not just going to be moving off to sofa.com and buying, you know, your Bluebell sofa or something.
No, we I've got a couple of different suppliers. So my main supplier of the equipment I found, and they're a very interesting couple because they've been in the industry 30 years. And they said when they started in the industry that a lot of the furniture and equipment would fall apart and was uncomfortable. So if you're, say, for example, wanting a spanking stool and you're bent over it, you don't want pain in your hips or your shoulders or your neck or wherever. You want it in a specific area, which is why you're on the spanking stool.
It's ergonomics, right?
Exactly. So they have worked out with engineers how to make furniture very comfortable, very practical, very hard wearing, and in white clean, of course.
Wow, that's amazing.
But what they're going to do for me is they're going to colour it in the ways that I want. So if I want it done in brass, or I want it with pink stitching, or I want it quilted in a beautiful faux leather, then they'll do all of that. So we can get everything, and because they also hand make whips and paddles, we can have everything colour coordinating throughout the whole room. And then I have another company, which is a which is Circus 25, who are based just down the road from us in High Wycombe, and they're a furniture manufacturer, but they do beautiful high-end bespoke pieces of furniture. And they're going to make the beds for me, the four-poster beds. Wow. With the hard points in, with the drawers with all the little dividers in them, where we've got all the little plugs so you can put your little toys inside and everything. Amazing. Like that.
So again, I mean, it's the same stuff. You're thinking about the storage, you're thinking about the functionality, yes, thinking about the aesthetics. It's interior design, yes, right? Even though it feels like it could be a million miles away from it.
Exactly. It's all about the practicalities.
Yeah.
But absolutely, it's just going to look beautiful as well.
And that's the thing about this. And I know, obviously, you know, in the past, people have been very cagey about talking about things like this. But I think definitely since the books, The 50 Shades of Grey, you know, that whole series, people are much more open to talking about things like this and bringing it kind of more into the mainstream. But the types of interiors that you're talking about here are very high end, aren't they?
Ideally, yes, because I think for us to be able to do the furniture, I'd like it to be bespoke. And so I think the average person wouldn't be able to afford it. But what I'd like to do is start there and then eventually have a shop selling the furniture. But we could sort of trickle down the furniture so it's not as high end, and be able to sell nice little bits and pieces for everybody to be able to enjoy.
Amazing. What a departure. And it's so nice as well to see an interior designer kind of embracing something that they're interested in, passionate about, and just going for it, even though it's completely different to what most other people are doing as well. It's really, you know, you've set your heart on doing this, and it's just amazing to see you going for it and making a success of it.
Yeah.
So looking at your journey as a whole, not just this most recent venture, if you could go back and kind of talk to your younger self about your career to come, is there any advice that you would give yourself going back now?
Should have gone to interior design college first. And then I realised I didn't need it, but it would have been, I would have been able to do the whole process faster.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you ever feel that, you know, that you would like to go back and do that? Or do you think it's just too far now that you would know all of that stuff?
I think
you haven't before.
Well, I feel very lucky because I'm part of the Interior Designers Hub. So anytime that I need information, I know where to get it.
That was a good answer, Philippa.
As you know, because I contacted you many times with questions.
Indeed. Amazing. So but having that kind of security at the beginning of knowing that stuff rather than having to find it out through mistakes and things, you would have preferred to do it that way.
Yes. But then the mistakes have led me to where I am as well. And as you said, there it's important to make mistakes. So, yeah, I'm very grateful. I'm very lucky that I've got to where I am.
Well, you've worked very hard for it as well. So it's not certainly not all about the luck. And I'm really excited to see, you know, where the business goes and where this new venture goes as well. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more about it. So thank you very much. Before you go, Philippa, would you be happy to play a game of designer this or that?
Of course, yes.
Amazing. So I'm going to put a minute on the clock and then I'm going to give you some choices. And you just have to choose one or the other, but you're not allowed to say neither or somewhere in between. All right. Are you ready? Yeah.
I am.
Okay, here we go. Floral or plain?
Floral.
Symmetrical or asymmetrical?
Symmetrical.
Carpet or hard flooring?
Hard flooring.
Victorian or Edwardian?
Edwardian.
Formal or casual?
Formal.
Blinds or curtains?
Curtains.
Neutral or colourful?
Colourful, every time.
Dark or light?
Dark.
Maximalist or minimalist?
Oh, I'm in the middle. Maximalist then.
Spots or stripes?
Stripes.
Scandi or boho?
Boho.
Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen or Kelly Hoppen?
Probably Lawrence.
Brand paints or colour matched?
I'm a colour match. I'm naughty.
Faux plants or real plants?
Real plants.
Plumping cushions or karate chopping cushions?
Plump.
Okay, she's a plumper. Okay, we are out of time. Philippa, thank you so much for playing designer this or that. But more so, thank you so much for coming onto the Hubcast today and sharing your journey with us.
Well, thank you for all your advice and help over the years. You have been invaluable to help me get to where I am today. Thank you.
You're most welcome. It's really exciting to see your business grow.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into Hubcast by the Interior Designers Hub. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot and share it to Facebook, Instagram, or your favourite social media channel. Make sure to tag me in at Interior Designers Hub and let me know what you enjoyed about this episode. I reply to each and every comment. I'd also like to offer you an incredible free gift, which is going to show you the exact roadmap that you need to take to become a wildly successful interior designer. It shares our secrets to business success. If you'd like to get your hands on that, head on over to interiordesignershub.co.uk/roadmap right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.